don't know who's going to speak today, but the ladies that went to, who all went? Three of you went to the conference. At, I was getting ready to say White Horse. The conference at IHOP. And I don't know, Lisa Bevere was there, and Heidi Baker was there, and I don't know who else, but I'm looking forward to, in fact, Dave Hogan's been partnering up with Iris Ministries, which is Heidi Baker. So that's kind of an interesting match, isn't it? They're both strong in the Lord, but she's real soft, and well, not always. But she, you know, she might lay down and cry for 2 hours at the altar, and Dave Hogan might come out and smack you with a whip or something. So you just never know. But they reverse. Is he peaced out? We'll see. We'll see. But who all wanted to speak? Well, any order? Because y'all all come up. Deb, Mary. Jenny, come on up and do whatever God shows you. Lord, bless these words, God, that they won't fall on bad ground, God. Thank you, Lord, they fall on fertile soil in Jesus' name. Well, I'll let y'all do it as you will in Jesus' name. Let's prepare our hearts.
Yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Father, we just come to you right now in Jesus' name, Lord, and I just pray, Father, that everything that you've done in our hearts and our lives, Lord, that you wanted us to bring back today, God, and bring it forth. We just ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll bring to remembrance everything, Lord God, that is meant for right here and right now, God. And Lord, we all open our hearts to receive every good thing that you have for us today in Jesus' name. Well, the name of the conference we went to was called Unwavering. Okay, yeah. And it was a women's conference, and it was in Kansas City, Missouri. And me and my family had lived there for about 4 years. So for me, I was going for a visit because my son's there, and I wanted to go see him too. And but of course, I had never heard Heidi Baker. And for those of you that don't know her, she is a missionary to Mozambique, to Africa. And she's an amazing woman. She's started orphanages and schools and hospitals and churches. And anyway, you probably all know more about her than I do. But it was a really honor and privilege to get to hear her. But if you don't know much about the House of Prayer there in Kansas City, that's just an experience in itself if you've never been before. And basically, they have, Mike Bickle, the Lord gave him a vision to start a 24/7 prayer and worship that would not end, day and night, night and day. And so since 1999, there's been a prayer meeting and worship meeting going since 1999. It's like when we sing the songs, the fire on the altar will never go out. Okay, that's, it's in the model of David's tabernacle. Okay, so they, just to kind of give you a little bit of groundwork, because Deb had never been. Mary had been a long time ago. And like I said, we had lived there for a while. But one thing that it just kind of sparked me when Mary, when we got there, we went and we sat in the prayer room for a while. And I mean, now just think about this. This is an atmosphere that's just, it's open heaven all the time. Because people are laying down their lives. I mean, literally laying down their lives to pray. They're laying down their agendas, and they give up family, they give up jobs, and they're missionaries to be in the house of prayer to pray. Now see, that's kind of a different mindset for us, especially in the American church, to give yourself to prayer, like, all the time. But now you think, well, is that all they do? No, that's not all they do. They go by 2-hour increments. they have different teams that come in, worship teams, and they'll worship and they'll pray for 2 hours, and then a new team comes in. And that's how they stay replenished and they stay renewed. Okay, so I'm just laying some groundwork because, you know, this is a special place in the earth right now. It just really is. And there's a mighty move of young people there, too. It's old and young together. That's what really blesses my heart, because we need the fire and the passion of the young people, and they need the wisdom that the old. And so it's like turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the father. And so anyway, that's real special. But Mary had said, we'd got there, and she was like, man, this is like a revival in prayer. And I just want to let them kind of share a little bit. But I just wanted to kind of lay some groundwork of like where we were at and what we were doing there. So, yeah. Do what? Oh, I'll tell that.
Did you want to talk next?
No, you can't.
I think you're going to go last.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah, it was an awesome experience. First of all, just being in the car with these two women was an awesome, you know, just going, driving down and back. That was, I got sick on the last day and was in bed the whole day. And their love and just how they took care of me was awesome. So just seeing God work there. And the House of Prayer is awesome. I mean, you can be standing in the hall and people are coming in and out and they're just stopping and praying for each other. And it's just really was uplifting, and just that whole atmosphere. So the speaker, the worship was great. I mean, we all three went to have our mail read. Prophecy, thank you, in the prophecy room. And so that was confirmation. I think we all got confirmed there with things that were said. And I just lost my train of thought. Anyway, we were going, I went to one of the breakout classes that probably touched me the most. And it was called Image and Identity by Jennifer Roberts. And she talked a lot about weight, which I've got a lot of it, but it doesn't seem to bother me as much anymore as it used to. But the identity part was really, and I really got moved by, you know, that was several weeks ago, so I have so much growth to go there. And I've got to tell you, I've been horribly, horribly shy my whole life and never got drunk in my life because I'm a control person. I never want to be out of control. So the Holy Spirit moving me, you know, when I, and it's not like I don't go wild, but it's wild for me to allow him to do things. So I have grown a lot, but I have a lot more to go. And so she talked a lot about, she did talk about body shopping. As women, we tend to look at women as they walk by. And she said, you know, you wouldn't go to Gucci or some name brand store and say, and start complaining and tell them what they're doing wrong with their stuff. And that's what we do with God. We go to him and complain, or we don't like what we have about ourselves, or... And we don't also wouldn't say to other people what we say to ourselves. That's where I'm bad. I say a lot of bad things in my head and don't have faith that, and I've been prophesied over the things that God's going to do with me. And yet I'm fearful. And so anyway, that's where I have, one of the things she said was, look fully into God's face and let him make you who he's made you to be. And so it was... If you want more, I've got notes. I can tell you more. My notes. But it totally was an awesome experience. And if we go back, I recommend even taking a whole busload.
Thanks. I wrote down a few things.
Oh, Peter.
It's an outline. It's an outline. It's not even notes. Yeah. Go get your notes. There we go. It says, be still and know. I'm God. Okay. The name of it was The Unwavering, like Jenny said. And when I went down there, I felt like I was pretty much wavering, like just in my faith. And just probably for the past 2 or 3 years, I would say I've pretty much walked in the flesh most of the time. You know, not really walked in the spirit a whole lot. I mean, I do, but, you know, I try to spend time with God. And it's like I'm just trying, you know, always just trying. and it's always hard. And so I went there, and, you know, I just felt like God restored a lot of stuff in the spirit for me, just took away a lot of that flesh, you know. I mean, it's all ever going to all be gone, but he just, like, refocused everything that that I had my eyes on that was wrong. Y'all know I homeschool 4 boys and 1 girl, and that's been really stressful for a few years. I've went back and forth. Oh, God, just I need to put them in Lanesville. There's this good school, you know, and I was struggling with that when I went down there. You know, what am I going to do? Because I cannot live like this. Like, it's like suffering, you know. You're just, like, miserable. And that's not God. It should be fun, you know, somewhat. It should be somewhat of a joy, right? I mean, they're probably going to be better for them than me, like, half the time. So, anyhow, that's what I was thinking. And I was just really struggling with a lot of stuff and a lot of things that God told. I could hear God so clear there because it was, like, just an open heaven. Like, I thought about it, and it was, like, normally, you know, I'm here and I have maybe an hour of worship a week, and then I put worship on at home, but I don't worship for a whole hour at home every day. So I'm in worship, what, an hour a week, right? We were there for 3 days and we had 15 hours of worship, and that includes us going in the prayer room because I figured it up. I always calculate stuff. I'm a math person like that. And it was 15 hours of worship and almost 15 hours of teaching. So, you know, that will change you. I mean, like, I could hear God so clear during that worship time. It was just like, I heard him tell me stuff about Logan and Tiffany. I mean, he was telling me about everybody, you know. Just could hear anything I wanted to hear. It was like, you could hear it. So that was really, really, really awesome and encouraging. Let's see, what did I write down? Hold on 1 second. Okay. One time, I'm going to tell this part. I was in the prayer room, and, you know, it depends on who's doing the set. Sometimes it's a little bit more awesome than other times, but it's always, God's always there. I'm sorry, it's the truth. Yeah, it's like, sometimes it's just kind of like, okay, but, yeah, it's just, I was almost asleep, but it was because of God's presence, but anyways, but it was, when we went, though, we had good people, right? Like, they were really good sets, I guess. And it was just awesome. And at one point, they were singing the song, "The Great I Am." And everybody just started screaming, "The Great I Am." And we all stood up in the whole prayer room. And, like, I've never felt this in my entire life. I could just cry thinking about it. But when everybody was singing it and everybody had their hands just straight up going, "The Great I Am," my whole spirit started, like, glowing. I'm not kidding. Like, I felt this heat just right here. It was all like it was hollow. I cannot even describe this feeling. It lasted for like 5 seconds. And it was just like I was right before the throne. And we were all screaming, "The Great I Am." And I mean, that like touched me more than anything because I have never felt anything like that in my life. It only lasted 5 seconds, but it was awesome. I was like, "Oh, what just happened to me?" But it was just like, I can't even describe it. I don't even know. It was just like you were glowing and you were just right in front of God. And he was just like right there. You know, it was just amazing. And then I got prophesied over a lot. I got prayer a lot. One lady told me she saw a teller machine, and she saw an unlimited number of fives. Well, I have 5 kids, you know, I'm trying to homeschool, and I've been stressed about that and all that. So she just said, there's like an unlimited number of fives coming across this teller machine. And God's telling you, you have all the resources you need. You have everything you need. You have enough. It's like you can just go up to this teller machine and take out whatever you want at whatever time you need it. And I'm like, I'm not feeling that, but okay, I believe it. But God just showed me, you know, that about homeschooling, it wasn't about homeschooling. It's not about homeschooling. My struggles wasn't homeschooling. My struggles was my flesh and my kids' flesh and my heart, you know, that was my problem. Just being with them 24/7, I mean, it's going to work some stuff out of you, so yeah. But so that was a lot of what he showed me. And then that same lady also said that she saw me like in front of a typewriter, and she saw me with my Bible, and I was like just writing. And I used to write all the time, and when I was young, I used to I won like poetry contests in high school, and you know, DARSAs when I was in elementary school, and just different things like that. I love to write. And I haven't done that for a long time, but she's like, I just see you, you know, writing, and I don't know, you said children's curriculum, but I don't know. It was pretty neat. And then when I went into the prophecy room, that was like the thing that probably touched me the most. This is all just my personal experience with it. But when I went into that prophecy room, they don't know you from Adam. They just ask your name. And the first lady, she said, Mary, you know, she was talking like she's foreign. It was really neat. But she's like, you have like jewels inside of you that seem like they are buried way down in you, but they're right there in front of God. They're not on a shelf. They're not buried. They're right there. She said, they're a little dusty, but God's going to polish them off. And all these gifts that are inside of you that haven't been used for a long time, you know, he's going to polish them up and show them, you know, in a beautiful way. So she just said a whole bunch of stuff like that. And then the other girl, she was just like, wow. She said, I just feel like, you know, Mary, that you're in this hard place all the time. And it's like you're pulling against, it's like you're always in this tug of war. And she said, and you pull and you're pulling in your own strength. She said, but God, Jesus is right there, and he's going to come up beside you, and he's just going to pull on your side. And so she started saying that, and she said, you know, you've just been in such a hard place for such a long time, and you've given so much sacrifice for love. She said, and it feels like, you know, that you're not getting anything out of it, that everything that you have dreamed would happen when you were a little young person, it's not happening. And it's like you've just done all this stuff for nothing, you feel like, she said. But in that hard place that you've been in for so long, you know, there's going to be such fruit from that. And she said, you can't see the fruit right now. She said, but there's fruit there. And she said, and there's going to be so much fruit from that hard place. Yeah, and she said a whole bunch of stuff too, but that was the main thing that I was just like. And I played that for Logan and Tiffany because I have it on my phone. And they were all just crying, you know, because there was more to it. And you cannot deny there's a God if you listen to that because, like, they don't know me, and I was struggling, you know, hard. And it was just like everything. They just read your mail. They read Deb's mail, and she was in there with me, and Jenny was in a different room, but it was really good for both of them, too. So that's pretty much what I got out of it personally. You know, for Logan and Tiffany, I told them, I said, you know, you guys always want to travel. They want to go, like, all different places. They just want to see the world. And I said, well, God showed me that it's because God put in your heart to be an evangelist. Like, God always, when Logan was little, he'd go up to people and say, do you know Jesus? And they'd be like, yeah, and he'd be like, no, but do you know him? And they'd be like, yeah, and he'd be like, but do you have a relationship? When he was little, he would always say that to people, like, but do you really know him? And people would just be like, what? But mostly people like Thriftway and stores like that. But it was funny. But anyways, I told him about that, and I reminded him, and I said, you know, that's still in you. God put that in your heart to see people get saved, and, you know, that's why you have this desire to travel. Because you're going to go places and you're going to tell people about Jesus. And I mean, he was just bawling. He really received it, you know. So that was really, really cool. And that's mostly what I got personally. I think that's pretty much everything. I want to say this about Heidi Baker. I didn't feel like I was saved after I left that meeting. I was like, okay, where's the altar? Like, I do not know Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, I do, but not like that. So, but you know what God showed me is, like, she's not an extraordinary person. She's just a normal person like us who surrendered way more than most of us, the American church. I mean, really, she just surrendered and kept surrendering and kept surrendering. And she has just a drive. I mean, she said that all she can hear in her head is God saying, feed my hungry, you know, feed the hungry, feed the hungry, feed the hungry. It's like his cry is just like in her ear to feed the hungry. And she just goes, and she just, you can tell about the witch doctor story if you want, but yeah, it was really good. But one thing that stood out in my mind, she said that when she came to the American church every time, God would just lay her on the floor the whole time, just lay her on the floor. She couldn't get up. She couldn't move. And he would be like, you know, why do you always lay me down in the American church? But when I go back over to Mozambique, you know, I can preach, I can talk. I'm not, like, laid down on the floor. And she said, because there's too much control in the American church. And she said, and God just told her, I need you out of the way. You know, I need my people out of the way. I need to be able to do whatever I want to do in the service. You know, and so because, you know, So for 10 years, she said, every service, she'd just weep. And she said, people got offended. They didn't like her. A lot of people didn't know what to do with her. She said, but she obeyed God. Like, she was so obedient to God to the point she didn't care what anybody thought. She'd just do it. She'd just be out on the floor moaning. And but now she got to talk to us. God's not doing that anymore because she went through that stage. She passed that test, and I don't know. But that was just awesome. She was just amazing. I think that's pretty much everything I got out of it.
Yeah, she is an amazing woman. She, like Mary said, her life is just surrendered, and it just stirs up. Well, like for me, it stirred up like what God did in me in the beginning when I was first saved. I was 19 years old when Jesus revealed himself to me as not just my Savior, because I knew he saved me from my sins, but it was making him Lord over my life. And like Joanna said, breaking those rearview mirrors, that seeing that's a process. It like some, like for me, like I drank a lot as a teenager, okay? That was my thing. I didn't really do drugs, but I was an alcoholic, all right? So because I felt like I was still in control. I don't know how we think that, but like, you know, the Lord, he set me free from alcohol, like, bam, just like overnight. But he showed me that to do that, I needed to stay away from the places and the people that would pull me back into that sin. And then that goes with everything. I smoked cigarettes, you know, and and that one took a little while. I mean, I'm just being honest. It was, I don't know why I got on my testimony, but probably because, you know, some of us in here needs to hear it's a process. I mean, I've been walking with Jesus since 1992, 1993, somewhere in there. And honestly, if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, it's such a journey. It's such a good journey to be with Jesus because, you know, you're walking one way one day, doing all this stupid stuff, living for yourself. You're so self-centered and just so about you. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes in and reveals himself like this love. This love that I'd never had. This love that, like, he loves me just the way I am. No matter what I've done, he loves me. And he took me out of a dark place of, like, depression and anger and just all this stuff. Like, self-hatred. I didn't love myself. He loved me. I was like, oh, my gosh, you know. Because that's an uncomprehendable kind of love. I mean, that's not the way the world loves. That's not what we know in everyday life. Nobody loves like Jesus. And he was just there for me, you know, and just said, you know, come on. That's the way he is. He's like, just come on. I love you. I accept you. Just come with me. And it was like, I just left that. And so ever since, it's like, I just give him praise for this. It was like, it took me, I mean, there was hard things. I mean, hard things in my life. I lived by myself, 19 years old, raising my kid brother all by ourselves. We didn't have any parents around. We didn't have any family around. It was just me and my brother and God. And, you know, we found this church, and we was going to this church, and they were awesome. I'd never been in church before. I didn't grow up in church. And so to know church people that love me, and they were there for us, you know, but I didn't know them. But, I mean, it was just to have God to, like, keep me all these years has been amazing, you know, because I didn't have anybody saying, oh, you know, walk this way. I mean, God did put people in my life. But all that to say, that weekend, going out there, I mean, I was expecting. I mean, I was really excited for them. You know, I was like, really, I invited a lot of you, and there's no condemnation. It just didn't work out. But it was like I was excited for my sisters because, you know, I knew that God was going to meet them. And so, I mean, I was excited for myself, but I'm just being kind of dull. You know, it's like, well, you know, we live there. And you just kind of get that way, and it's like, God rocked my world. I mean, as soon as we got there and we started worshiping, or we went to the prayer room first, oh, Lord. And we just, like, that was the night, wasn't it? And we were all just like, just a puddle, because his presence was just so, he met us there. I mean, it was like he was waiting for us, you know. I mean, we, honestly, our whole, this is an 8.5 to 9 hour ride to Kansas City, Missouri. Well, our whole time there, we were just, whoa, whoa, whoa. We were just so full and so talking, like the time went by so fast. So we were already in the atmosphere talking about the Lord and all that kind of stuff. So when we got there, we didn't have any hindrances. You know, we were just ready to receive. And so take note of that, even for your personal lives, like, because we just get so used to just church as usual, and then we look around and we can think, oh, well, it's this. No, it's us. You know, if we prepare our hearts before we get here, boom, you're just like right there with him. And I mean, that's, I really feel like that's a word for us today, you know, because yeah, it's awesome to get away and go, you know, have a retreat. It's, we need to do it. We need to do that every now and then. All of us do. You, and it's like a spiritual journey, you know, because you're going just for that reason. Now think about that. Do you think that God's not going to like meet you, you know, in a special way? He does. He really looks at our, like the money you put forth, the time you take off from work, the, you know, the time you're just going to dedicate. Well, I mean, you know, you might not be able to go to a conference or something, but like even this weekend, you know, this was something right here. It was just like right here. These are dedicated times, like consecration. Like, I'm going to set aside time for you, God. You know, and I think about like Daniel. You know, think about his life for a minute. I love that man. I love to read about Daniel because he just so, and honestly, it was when David Hogan came to the Barn Church back years ago, and he said, Daniel was a man with an excellent spirit. Now think about that. What was excellent about Daniel? He was an ordinary person just like us. But his love for God and his trust in God caused him to want to be with the Lord. And he would do it in the face of persecution. He didn't care what it cost him. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to dedicate myself. I'm going to go before the Lord every single day. And we know it was 3 times a day. Now, see, there's patterns in the Word of God for us to follow. They're there for a reason. I mean, not to become religious about it, but it's like that pleases the Lord, though, to see a heart that wants to burn for him. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to put myself in that place, Lord, where I can burn for you, where I can, like, see you and, like, really go in there and be with you. And, I mean, you can do that at home. You can do that in your car. You can do that when you come to church. You can do it when we, you know, have prayer meetings. I mean, you can do it. And that's what Joanna was here saying. We can do this. And you know what? Look around this room. We all love each other. And we are a body of believers that are one heart and one mind. And we want the same thing. We want Jesus. He's our prize. We want the same thing. It's like, you know, that, and that's what I was like feeling for them. It's like, I just want all my friends, like, to have more You know, it's like to burn more, to burn brighter, to like be filled with light, to be filled with, you know, desire for God. I mean, they are, obviously, they wanted to go. But, I mean, is it okay to want more? Yeah. Is it okay for you to want more for your family and your friends? Is it okay? I mean, it's like, you know, is it okay for you to, like, want to be a little different than everybody else? But you know what? This family, we're all the same. I mean, we're in different places. We're in different places in God, but we're running the same race. You know, and I'm just picking up on that. But anyway, I got off on that, didn't I? Jesus. Well, Heidi Baker, see, getting back to that. Thank you, Lord. She, just like seeing her, it made me revisit when I was first saved, is what it did. It made me go back to the place, because when I got saved, all I had was my little brother, okay, holding on to my tails, okay, and then he went off to boarding school. It was a Christian boarding school. It was good for him, all right, so don't be poor. No, that was, it made him a man. It was good for him. God gave me a lot of promises, and it made me remember how surrendered I was in the beginning. And in the Word, it says to revisit those places, like go back to your first love. Let's do the things that we did in the beginning. And those of you that are just starting out, keep doing the things you're doing, because it will make you burn brighter. And it makes you establish a foundation that can't be shaken. So Heidi Baker was, like Mary said, she's not some supernatural human being. She lives a surrendered life. Her and her whole family live surrendered. I will tell that story about the witch doctor. That was pretty cool. Kristen knows about being in Africa and some of those things. Heidi said that they were out preaching somewhere in the bush, in the jungle, okay? We can't wrap our minds around it. And she said that she has a lot of these little orphan kids that she's adopted, and they've become her children. And she said there was a witch doctor. She got word that a witch doctor was on his way to kill her while she was out preaching. And she's there with all of her kids and her people. And she said, oh, just the way she responded to that. Come on, it's convicting. She's like, well, praise the Lord. She said, you can look at this one or two ways. You're going to live or you're going to die. And the guy came with three puffer adders, very venomous, poisonous snakes. And that's the way I guess he was going to kill her, you know. And she looked over at her son, and she said, do you have your camera? Because he does videographies or whatever, puts movies together. And he had his camera. She said, I want you to film all this. I guess she was going to get filmed or she lived or died. Well, she said she heard the Lord when the man walked up. She said he was old and tired. Yeah, okay. Was he like kind of blind or? Okay. Yeah, she said, you know, he was full of hate and just full of darkness. And everybody in that region were very afraid of him because he controlled all these people in this region with his magic, okay, with his dark powers. And she said that all of a sudden the Lord put into her heart, she felt the way God felt about this man. And she said, the Lord told her, he's a broken, hurt little boy. And so then she goes, oh, you know, she's seen him the way Jesus seen him. And she said, dude, God said that you're tired. And he said, I'm here, I'm going to kill you. She said, no, you're tired. And she said, we're going to kill your snakes. I mean, just like that. And she said, she took a shovel and started digging a hole. And then she got tired out. And so her other sons or adopted, they started digging a hole. And she said, as soon as they got the hole dug, those snakes jumped into that hole. Out of his arms, they jumped into the hole. They lit the snakes on fire and burned them up. Well, then she just began to share the gospel with him about how much God loved him and how, you know, the Lord wants to just, you know, transform his life. And so then he started melting. Y'all help me with some of the details, Mary. So he had his girlfriend there with him, okay, and evidently they lived together, okay. And she said, you know, she started presenting. The girlfriend was a leper, okay? So, and she had fingers missing because leprosy is a disease that, like, you know, kills your flesh. And, like, it oozes, opens sores, and it's very, very contagious. And it's like you lose your fingers and your toes and you lose your limbs and stuff. And so she said that the Lord told her to take the girl's hands and kiss them. So she said, now these are open, oozing, running sores. And she kisses the leper's fingers, okay? And the Lord, evidently she must have had a ring that cost a lot of money with like a ruby or something. And she said, the Lord says, give the princess the ring. And she said, yeah, but Lord, she's not going to understand the value of this ring. I want the princess to have the ring. So she puts the ruby ring on the princess, what's left of her fingers there. And she said, now, she said, you two need to get married. Do you love each other? Yeah, we love each other. Okay, well, let's marry you two. So she marries them right there on the spot. Well, she said she led them both to Jesus. They both repented of their sins and gave their hearts to Jesus. Then she married them. Then they drove them down into this big cliff, down to the nasty waters, and they both got baptized right there on the spot. And this is a man, remember, that come to kill her that day, okay? Then she said, now the lady's healed from leprosy. All of her sores are closed up, and they don't ooze anymore, and she's healed. And he is studying to become a pastor there in their church. I mean, Jesus. We got to see the video. Yeah, it was incredible. It was really awesome. Now, you know, Jesus says these signs will follow. But now let's think about the price Heidi Baker pays, you know. But we're followers of Jesus, right? We can't be afraid to pay the price. And our price sometimes is a little bit different than somebody else's. I mean, again, we don't compare ourselves to other people. But, I mean, my Lord, she's a hero in my book of the faith. It was like a modern day Paul the apostle standing right there in our midst. And you know, the thing was, that was her first time to ever be at IHOP ever, and she didn't know what to expect. She didn't know if they were gonna like keep her on a time limit and all this. And of course they come out and they assured her she had as much time as she wanted, because she just went with the Holy Spirit. She came out. The first thing she did when Diane Bickle came out to introduce Heidi Baker, she came right here and got on her knees. And she stayed on her knees for about almost an hour. I'm not kidding. And she, it's like she didn't want to take any of the glory, and she didn't want people looking at her. Okay, so that's a big, you know, because when you walk with the Lord like that, and I mean, people can puff you up, you know, people can do that to us. And just seeing her surrendered heart, and I mean, she just really, she took us, she's like, you know what, everybody just start singing in the Spirit. And we worshiped probably about 45 minutes, just for about 45 minutes. We had already had almost 2 hours of worship. I mean, you know, it's life-changing. I mean, that's all you can say is that's life-changing to actually see and hear somebody. And what that did for me, it made me revisit and reevaluate, you know, because I get anxious over really stupid stuff. Let's just be honest. Think about some of the things we get all upset about. Just really, like, think about that. Now, some of us, you know, we can justify, well, my situation's a little bit different, you know, than so-and-so. Well, I'm just going to be honest. The Lord has spoken to me and my husband. I'm going to get personal for a minute. He spoke something to us when we first got married. And we justified this thing, like, well, you know. But when God tells us something, all he's looking for is for us to obey him. But when times get a little hard and the situation gets a little bit rough, we think, well, you know what? And you're right. God does still love you. And it is okay. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. But you know what? He had a better way. He had a better plan. And since we made that decision in 2000, probably, I'm going to say, we have suffered in a certain area of our life that we probably shouldn't have had to suffer in. But I'm not, like, upset and bitter over it, because it's made, like, godly character come in our lives. And, you know, it's like if you can embrace the suffering, there's something really good on the other side of that hard circumstance. And I know I'm not, you know, I know you know that, but we need to remind ourselves sometimes, because when you're right in the middle of something, it's really hard to see that you're going to come through it on the other side. But you are going to come through, especially if you stay with Jesus. You will come through. You will come through. You will come through. Has anybody come through? We've come through. And we're in a situation right now. And you know what? This is what the Lord told me personally. Because I was starting to waver. I had already been talking. I don't know. It'll be okay if we just. All right. And the Lord spoke to me and said, don't do that. Don't speak that. That's doubt. I am going to provide. I'm going to come through. And you're going to be free. Mike's going to be free. If we just hang on a little longer. Now, come on. If we just hang on a little bit longer and we just trust God and keep walking, even though it's uncomfortable to our flesh right now, it's uncomfortable. It's not convenient. It's like every day there's some kind of little, you know, it's just like, man, you know. And you can start grumbling and complaining, or you can start praising God and speaking in tongues. I'm just being honest. Because, you know what, if I give in to that grumbling and complaining, I become ugly. And I become hard to live with. I'm just being honest. I'm being very honest. And I don't want to be that. I want to be surrendered. I want to get on and do, I want to love people. I don't want to be stuck back here in this grumbling, complaining. Oh, it's all about me and look what we're going through. And no, that's not what Jesus called us to. He called us to be mighty in him and to love people. And that's the greatest, 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 greatest call is to love people. And that's the hardest thing to do. That is, and especially the ones that are closest to you sometimes. But you know what? That same love that Jesus gave to me, I'm called to give that every single day, whether it feels good, whether it's easy, whether, you know, because remember what Paul said, I know what it feels like to have all this, and I know what it's like to have nothing. And then I read in Proverbs one day where it says, you know, if I was rich, then I wouldn't be thankful to God. And if I was poor, then I'd be tempted to steal. So, and I know I'm paraphrasing that. But I have my needs met. I have everything. You know what? We don't go hungry. We can do this if we just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We can do this, and we keep loving people, like reaching out, loving the unlovely, loving the hard to love, you know, just victory over those situations. And I came home and I told him, and I bet he was going, phew. God, she went on that conference. He's really nice to me. He doesn't make me ever feel bad about. He's so good. He is. I love him. But I told him, I said, you know what? We're going to do it right this time, and we're not going to waver. We're going to obey the Lord. And I said, you're going to be free. We're going to be free to do whatever it is that God calls us to do. For the rest of the days that we're here on earth, we're going to be free. We're going to be free to go, to love, to touch, to whatever he's telling us to do. And see, that's really all it's about. Whatever it is that the Lord has put in your heart, the things he's put in your heart, he cares about that. He wants to do it. Let's just surrender. And I mean, honestly, that's what I got out of the thing. I mean, that whole time, and I mean, I think that's a pretty good thing to get, you know. It's like, and then Joanna comes and she can, it's like just confirming. You know, God's people are here. We're here to confirm things to each other and to encourage each other and to pray for each other. And it's okay that we don't have it all together, because we're not really supposed to have it all together, or we wouldn't need Jesus. What else? I went to prophecy room and I got a lot of confirmation to not do what I was in the flesh about, like, And they did, it wasn't even, honestly, it didn't have anything to do with the situation. It was just the things that God was speaking in my heart to stay steadfast. Don't look to the right or to the left. Just keep trusting me. Because if we trust him, every little thing we trust him with, then you see that he comes through for you, then you're able to trust him more. Because there's just going to be other things, and we can trust him. He is very faithful, isn't he? Let's just pray for a minute. Father, you are so holy, and you are so righteous, and you are so true. And we are so honored and blessed to be called your children. And I thank you for the awesome privilege, Lord, to be in this family, to be in this family called Faith Harvest, Lord, in Greenville, Indiana. Lord, it's not just a building, Lord, it's your people. And we thank you that you've allowed us to have a place to meet and to love on you and to come together to encourage each other. Lord, we thank you for this house. We thank you, Lord, for the foundation of love that this place has been built on, God, and unconditional love because it's been built on you. And my prayer, God, for my friends and my family and my brothers and my sisters, Lord, is just make us one. Lord, bind us together in love while we wait to see you, Jesus. Like while we're here on this earth, God, and we're just doing life, God, thank you we can do life together. And Lord, I pray that you would bind the cords of love, Lord. You would just bind us together tighter, Lord, just that as the day comes, Lord, for us to see you, Jesus, that we would be about our Father's business, God. And I do ask for grace for each one of us, Lord, to surrender our hearts, Lord, more, to surrender parts of our lives to you, God, where we just hold on to. And, Lord, we're sorry. We don't really mean to do that, God. Lord, we ask that you would just come. The Helper would come. Holy Spirit would come and set us free. Lord, set us free from mindsets that keep us stuck in the same place. Lord, break that off of us today in the name of Jesus. Lord, set us free from those offenses that keep us stuck in the same place, God. Lord, we want to be free. God, we want to surrender that place to you today, Jesus. Lord, we don't want things to stay the same. I don't want to stay the same. My brothers and sisters don't want to stay the same, God. Lord, we want to change from glory to glory to glory to glory. Lord, I know that's the heart cry of this people, Lord. Lord, we want you. Lord, we want the fullness of your Spirit, God. Lord, we want to see, Lord, the lost saved. Lord, we want to see the sick healed. Lord, we want to see, Lord, those set free from bondages, God. That's our heart's cry because that's your heart's cry, Lord. I pray that you would give us that impartation, Lord God, to supernaturally see people and love people with your heart, God. Lord, that we would not be offended by just ugliness, God. This world is very offensive, especially to those of us that want Jesus. But Lord, we've got to remember where we came from. We were that ugly. We were that. And Lord, I pray that you would just give this church body, Lord, these people here today, I pray that you will give them